This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:39 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. So we're going to be moving on to our next story. And it's looking at the continuing trade tensions between China and the US and how it could potentially be very damaging for us. So Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has basically reiterated kind of what we all know, which is that we're really in the middle of this thing and Malaysia and our export-reliant economy could be the next target of sanctions.
So he pointed out that we're not just economically linked to both markets, we're also geographically in the middle of these two mega economies, literally the room put in between two elephants. So Tun Mahathir also says that Malaysia will be preparing for the worst by cooperating with regional neighbours, but he didn't quite elaborate on what that meant.
Apparently, by the way, I didn't know this, but Vietnam, according to Bloomberg, is already on the US's radar. President Donald Trump described Vietnam as, and I'm quoting here, almost the single worst abuser of everybody when he was asked if he wanted to impose tariffs on the nation.
That's such a terrible sentence.
I mean, yes, but also that just had us thinking, I mean, on a broader scale, I don't know if this is, you know, entirely new or if it's just something that's really entered our consciousness because of the constant talk about the trade war. But suddenly sanctions and tariffs are such a seemingly common way for countries to, you know, as a bargaining chip or as a negotiating method when they come to the table. It's like, do this or. And it's an interesting move simply because it has such huge spillover effects into countries' economies, and yet we're seeing it happen in more spots. I mean, obviously, the big focus is on US-China, but now we're hearing from Tun M that there is concern that, look, maybe we're next.
And sometimes with trade sanctions, I think the people usually that you want to hurt the most by using this method aren't the ones that are most vulnerable to it, right? What's said is, you know, it tends to be the poorer communities in those countries that happen to be impacted the most. And, well, the US actually is very often using economic sanctions. I believe they have economic sanctions against about a dozen countries. And that's something they've engaged with in such a long time, right? Though sometimes it can be counterintuitive to what they believe in.
Yeah, I mean, there are some very, very long-standing sanctions, as we know, with places like Iran and Cuba. More recently, I think Venezuela. So it's not exactly new, but there are a lot of different things to understand about this, especially because it speaks also to a power imbalance. I mean, the only reason that that it's threatening when America says, hey, we're going to levy trade sanctions on you, is because of the size of their economy, because of its impact. So, I mean, so there's a huge international power thing that we need to discuss here as well. So joining us on the line now is independent political economist Kor Yu Ling. Yu Ling, firstly, it's good to have you with us.
Hi, thank you.
So can we start with this? I mean, what form can trade sanctions take? Can you take us through the different mechanisms?
Well, I think if we just look at it in a very, very broad sense, I think we can look at going from the extreme of, you know, very strong sanctions, like where places like Cuba and Iran have been affected quite badly by that. And that's at the extreme end. And of course, if you look at it at the lighter end of things, which of course can be quite difficult as well for particular industries of particular companies, is where, you know, their goods might be, you know, facing higher tariffs because there's a consideration that there's some sort of anti-dumping going on, or it could feel that, you know, maybe there's offshoring of industries from China to Malaysia, and say on some of the photovoltaic, there's questions about country of origin. So, you know, the position of trade becomes problematic, and even things like anti-modern slavery regulations in places like California or elsewhere, where they said that, you know, we question, you know, a certain company's products moving into our place, and then your cargo gets stopped by the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. So one of it is basically very a countrywide issue, which then obviously is very punishing on the local population. And then at the other end, it could be specific products or even specific companies.
Do the WTO and UN have any role in sanctions?
On that, I think if you look at the WTO rules, I mean, there's certain I mean, again, if we define it very, very generally, I mean, they could come back to you and say that, look, I think, you know, my farmers are being disadvantaged. And then they kind of invoke a sort of national interest kind of thing on your exports. So that's also possible. And I think basically that's one of the key things within the realm of the WTO. And, you know, I just mentioned that because obviously Malaysia is an exporter of you know, key farm products as well. So that's one possibility as well. And I think at the UN level, there is different considerations and where countries kind of vote together or not. And you know, key countries have kind of a lot of sway on that. But I think by and large, the things that we are facing are these kind of smaller things. And I think we call it, we would term it as non-tariff measures, which are really on the rise. And I mean, it could even involve things like, say, palm oil, where the Russian Duma, which is their legislature, votes that palm oil should not have a lower VAT rate, but a higher VAT rate. And then, you know, things like that seem to get by, you know, within the trade realm, although I expect maybe there could be a challenge as well. But, you know, how do you... you know, challenge something where you have differential VAT rates. So people become very innovative in the way they try to, I guess, from the exporter viewpoint, you know, handle protectionist measures like that.
So, you know, we've seen lots of reasons for sanctions being being used, right? I mean, sometimes it's economic, sometimes it's not, sometimes it's political. Broadly speaking, and I suppose looking at how it's been overall, are they actually an effective way for countries or economic blocs to get what they want or to get the what they've been demanding?
I think for the really big sanctions, you know, against whole countries like Iran and Cuba and things, I think that is, obviously, I think that's proven not to really work because the sanctions just, you know, disadvantage the local people, their access to, you know, even things like, you know, medicine, the cost of these things, and the local populations get quite badly punished for that. And then, you know, you see the elites there where, I suppose, if you look at the hard sanctions, they're trying to work on, you know, forcing the regimes to be better. It doesn't seem to really work. But I think if you look at the other range of the things that I mentioned where there's, you know, higher VAT rate against palm oil somewhere, I mean, I think these can be essentially seem, you know, countries seem to get away with it. And what happens is that, you know, it could make palm oil more expensive than a competitor oil. And then that can have a major effect on your market share. But that, you know, doesn't, in a way, doesn't really harm the local population, especially if they say that, you know, we're trying to protect our local dairy farmers and our local farmer interests on that. So it's quite rangy in terms of, you know, whether it's a precision thing or very blunt, you know, countrywide sanction.
How much of the efficacy of trade sanctions lie in the power imbalance between countries? You know, for example, the size of one country's economy versus the other.
Oh, I think it definitely has an impact. I mean, again, I draw on a palm oil example, but you know, what's the bargaining power of Malaysia versus, say, a country like Indonesia that's going to be a you know top five, you know, by population by economy in the future. And it's a poorer country for now anyway. I think you can see that places like the EU and elsewhere might be more accommodating on that. Recently in palm oil, you know, they offered them about $12 million US dollars to accommodate, you know, geographical information about their exports. Whereas I think Malaysia has to go on their own to provide evidence.
And, you know, I think part of the fear here is also that we're talking about economies that are the size of the US and China. And when they place sanctions on countries, does it then affect how other nations do business with the target of that sanction?
I guess it depends. I think maybe a bit sadly in politics as well as in trade politics, I mean, there's a lot of demonstration effect, right? You know, if you see, you know, one trade partner doing this against another one, it might create, you know, ideas for somebody else to have, you know, differential VAT. I mean, this seems to be even mentioned in regard to, you know, might India do this on palm oil?
they would apply a higher value-added tax. You know, this would be the equivalent of the GST, which Malaysia doesn't have now, against palm oil. And then, you know, these things get speculated upon. And then, or is there going to be a higher duty? So the exact mechanism, you know, maybe things could learn from each other and become a trend. So that is the concern.
We're speaking with independent political economist Kor Yew Ling today on the subject of trade sanctions. Yew Ling, if you stay on the line with us, we'll be back in just about 2 minutes to continue this conversation. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:51 in the evening with Lynn and Kelvin. We're talking today about trade sanctions, simply because... Well, we know that they have been ongoing between China and the United States. And now Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad is saying that, hey, Malaysia might be stuck in the middle. So we're just trying to understand that statement a little more. And on the line with us is independent political economist Kor Yew Ling, kind of taking us through the various issues surrounding this. Yew Ling, how likely is it that Malaysia might face trade sanctions as a result of the trade war?
Well, I think where this is coming from is also questions that places like Vietnam are facing, that they're being in the spotlight of U.S. because they have been quite successful in getting China companies to invest there on a foreign direct investor basis and shift their supply base to Vietnam. So this has been, I guess, happening more in the last 2 years or so, and even in the last year. You know, the cost of China companies coming out is rising still. They're also eyeing places like Malaysia to set up their, you know, factories and things. So the moment there's this kind of offshoring or even other countries doing a China plus-plus strategy of, you know, moving their factories around the place to handle this U.S.-China trade war, then obviously the U.S. notices this. And then they do question whether the Vietnam facilities are genuinely sending their products from there, or whether there is some sort of you know, uncertainty that country of origin rules are being flouted. And you know, this has been raised in things like photovoltaic for solar panels. Even sectors like steel are kind of under the spotlight as well. And basically anything that has a big China foreign direct investor move, and you know, big factories are coming to Malaysia.
Have either the US or China placed sanctions on any other country as a direct result of the trade war? And, you know, is this something that Malaysia could potentially avoid?
Well, it's pretty much a US-China thing where they've kind of ratcheted up all these tariffs against each other. And I think the economics is showing that, you know, US consumers are... U.S. is affected more than China because they just more trade reliant, and the supply chains are much more in place, whereas China is a bit more domestic oriented. But elsewhere, I think there seems to be this talk, but not really hitting yet. And then, of course, there's also consideration that whether this trade war is really just a tech war as well, that U.S. is playing out, given that it doesn't seem to be winning on the trade numbers anyway.
So if push were to come to shove and one side imposes a sanction, which one would actually leave us worse off? And I ask this knowing that Malaysia has traditionally always said, you know, we're going to stay in the middle, we're friends with everybody. So I guess the question here is, if we had to choose, what would happen?
Gosh, I don't think it really comes to a choice in a way. I don't think we're really that, you know, badly at risk. At least I hope not. I think the thing is that we are part of supply chains, and in this sort of reorganizing supply chains, you know, there's a real push that, you know, Malaysia gets some advantage from that in terms of pushing China foreign direct investment, as well as other people repositioning from not just China, Vietnam. You know, everyone is getting more risk averse, that, you know, you can't put all your processing in just China or just China and Vietnam. You need a third location. So we really want that. I guess what has to be very careful, I guess from our front, for Malaysia, is that you make sure that the trade rules are well adhered to, and that, you know, you don't have, you know, somebody who might be shaving corners on trade rules, and then that exposes, you know, one of the Malaysian sectors to sanctions. I think it's we really have to keep our house clean, and then hopefully that should really mitigate the risk of this happening.
Can you take us through some of the possible effects of trade sanctions, particularly on poorer nations and vulnerable communities?
Well, I guess what you don't really want is, something like a, 20% plus increase in tariff against your exports, a certain sector. Neither do you want, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol to say that, no, I don't accept, I think there was, this is definitely not that's affecting the whole rubber glove industry of Malaysia. But, if you're an individual company, you don't want that happening either, because what happens then is that people would lose confidence and they would be risk averse from sourcing from a certain company. And that could actually, or a certain industry, and that could actually make things worse, because they would shy away from buying products from you, whether it's, gloves or palm oil or whatever, because people are worried that, it's not just US, right? What if the recent questions about India, what if they do that? And then people are worried about, if I buy my cargo now or my shipment now, and then in time while it's in transit, a tariff comes up. No, I don't want to do that. So I will buy from India or buy from Thailand. And that's really the real worry. If I talk at a more Malaysia level, where I think the potential risk is really on specific product lines rather than, anything wider than that.
So Yuling, we have just about a minute left, and I would just like to know, as you alluded to, these are relatively volatile times, right? It's not just US-China. There are other factors that are at play here. What do you think, or what would you like to see Malaysia doing in order to navigate these waters?
Malaysia has to be very clear what's happening with products coming in and leaving, because, if investigators from the EU or the US or whoever come in and find that, certain industries or certain companies have been playing fast and loose in their declarations, misdeclaring things, and, our country of origin is not as assured as can be, I think that's when things happen. Say, for instance, use cooking oil from China. What if the EU loses confidence in what the declarations are, and that, people have been, in effect, not giving the right things, declarations. So this is where, they do come and investigate and check. And I think, the customs department here and the industries and Malaysia in general, they have to make sure that the right things are happening and the right declarations are being made.
Yuling, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Kor Yuling, independent political economist from Sergi Anam Advisors, weighing in on the subject of trade sanctions. If you have any thoughts, you can, of course, share them. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.